Hey kids, it's time for children's show. Meet your teachers at the back.
Wow. God is so good. It's great to see all of you this morning. I just love the Lord. Anybody agree? Amen. I mean, you're probably agreeing that, yeah, hopefully I love the Lord, but you're agreeing that you love the Lord, right? I love the Lord. I'm so thankful for every good gift that He's given. I am so thankful that my wife is home. Miss K said behind me, 3 weeks is a long time. I said, you said it, sister. It is a long time. She is amazing. And I can survive without her, but I thank God I don't have to. You saw her up here. Imagine that every morning. I'm not kidding. I am not kidding. She is so loud in the morning, and it's filled, but it is all filled with God, so I can't really say anything about it, right? Tone it down. No, don't ever tone it down, and I don't want her to tone it down. It was too quiet without her. I'm thanking God that she has brought her boisterous spirit home and that we engage in everything that the Spirit and the Lord wants to do in our lives, and I'm just so thankful for her. We did one way, and I don't know, I guess I just need to share this, but one way that we stayed connected, which was really helpful, and I don't know if anyone else is in a similar circumstance, but we did devotionals together, still. And we would read through passages. We would say, this is what the Lord is saying to me through this passage. We speak it to each other. We speak it over each other. We pray on our texting and things. It was a great way to connect. And I was thankful for that connection that we continued to have. I'm thankful that we do that daily. Yeah. We do that daily in our lives. And it's hard to imagine my life without her and without that environment that we have built in our household. And I just encourage you in that. And this morning, it just kind of leads me into what I'm preaching today. And the title of my message is Instruments of God's Favor. And we are objects of God's favor, but you know we are called to be instruments of God's favor, which is amazing, and I'm so thankful for all that God has done in my life to show me His goodness and His love and His favor. But I thank God that He actually brought people in my life that actually helped me move into more of God's favor. Amen. So last week, were a number of you here last week for Mary Forsythe? I hope you were. Yeah. She gave great word, and if you missed it, you can go online or go on YouTube, the TFC Tyler channel, and you can watch that. She was speaking last week about partnering with the Trinity, and there was just a lot of good words in what she was discussing, and she shared some of her own struggle with rejection, and how God helped her break through with seeing all that He had created her to be and seeing her in His own family, which is just a beautiful picture. And I love that the verse she uses from Ephesians 1, that He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world. That we were in that place in Him. And He even chose us in that moment while the Father, Son, and the Spirit were sitting together. He chose us in Him to be a part of that place. Isn't that so awesome? Boy, yeah, that helps wash away some of that rejection, right? But as she was speaking about it and how she was walking through life and struggling with that rejection for a time, it hit me again because I know I had struggled with rejection, and I still have to, woo, you know, you gotta put your hand up sometimes still, right? I'm so thankful that God has worked in myself, but even as she was sharing it, she was like, Lord, I am thankful that you call me to be a partner in helping people break out of that. Do you want anybody in here to feel rejection and live with rejection all the time? I don't want anyone to feel that way. I want them to be received and accepted by God and to be loved by him and to know their worth and their identity in him. That is my desire. And I think you probably share that same desire.
Yes.
Yeah? Anybody share that?
Yes.
That just really struck me as she was speaking last week. And Jesus talks about service, and I've been talking about the greatness of serving like Jesus over the last few times that I've preached. And he brought me to this, and he has called us as ministers of reconciliation.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
He has called us as ministers of reconciliation. Now, reconciliation, we take this word, and it's katalasso in the Greek. And what it means is, and the way it's used, it's usually, it can be just secularly an exchange of coins. But oftentimes in Scripture, and mostly in Scripture, it is used, and even outside of Scripture, it is used as restoring a person to favor. That there has been a break in relationship and there has been a restoration of favor. And that's what reconciliation is. And it's when you are an instrument, you are a minister of reconciliation. Scripture says minister actually is the word to serve. When you are a servant of reconciliation, you are serving someone to help them come into the favor and the blessing of God. Wow. I want to be one of those ministers.
Yes.
Hopefully you do too. I want to be a reconciler. I want to be like Jesus.
Yes.
This is really what we're saying.
Amen.
This is what we're saying. A couple weeks ago, we went to a Wasabi. Whoa, where are you going with this, Jim? A couple weeks ago, we went, I don't know if anybody has heard of Wasabi. Anyway. Yeah, Ash's husband worked there for a long time. Wasabi, they sell Asian food, but they do great sushi. If you like sushi, Wasabi's a great place, I think. We went there, and we ordered some new sushi rolls that they had, and one is called, it was the beach, wasn't it? The beach. And my son Judah, tall guy, he plays the drums, a lot of hair. Judah doesn't really like seafood all that much. You gotta convince him on things a lot of times. Sushi is usually off his list unless it's fried, unless it's tempura, right? Tempura. I'm totally making everybody hungry for sushi. But Judah really has a hard time with like raw fish, and so he's just like, you know, I'll pass, forget that. You know, I'm not doing any of that kind of crab stuff. And so we got this one roll, the beach. I mean, among many other rolls we got. And we tried the beach. Oh, my goodness. It is so good. It is so fresh. And it's like an advertisement. Now, if you go in there, you need to mention my name. I'm going to get 20%. No, I'm kidding. I really won't. But it was so good, and it was so fresh. Oh, it was, and there was no fishiness. Don't even think. It was just so good. And we were like, Judah, you have to try this. This is amazing. And Judah was just, you know, I'm not so sure about this. But then finally he tried it, and we're all just kind of looking at him, you know, like waiting. And so he eats it, and he's like, oh, man, that's really good. That is really good. And isn't it funny? Like, we were all satisfied by him tasting of that sushi.
Yeah.
Hear me.
Yes.
Hear me. We have tasted and we have seen some incredible realities in God.
Yes.
Salvation, freedom, healing, deliverance, spirit filling. Yes. We have received just incredible abundance and favor. And that's just the beginning of things. You know, he keeps going on day and day, every day, ongoing revelation, wisdom and illumination, counsel and comfort and love and truth. Oh, he keeps pouring out. And that as we keep coming to him, it's just more and more. And wow, we're not to be a dead sea. We are to be a living river. A river of living water that flows from within us, that we pour out this favor that we have received, and that we come and we say to these people around us, ho, 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 you have got to taste this. And because they see how we are reacting to what he is doing, they were like, wow, yeah, I definitely do. I need to take a big old bite of that. And that you draw them by what he has done in you, right? Oh, gosh, thank you, Lord Jesus, that we taste and see. We tasted of him this morning. That is so good. We taste and see. He is the one that breaks the assignments against us. Oh, Lord, that you are the name above every name. That we come to you. You ask us to come. Don't get brushed up and cleaned up before you come. Just come right now as you are. Come as you are, and then I will bring salvation, healing, deliverance, freedom. I will bring filling of the Holy Spirit. I will bring wisdom and truth and provision and life and love, joy, and peace. Oh, and it keeps going, dot, 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 and it keeps going on and on and on. But this is what he's called us to, and that Jesus is our reconciler, and there's just so many powerful passages of Scripture that I just love, and I am undone when I read them again and again, and I'm so thankful in Romans. Let's turn to Romans chapter 5. This is just so beautiful, and it says, let's start in verse 4. Oh, man. And you keep going. And I know Pastor Kerry does this too. So he always tells you the verse. Let's notice this about Pastor Kerry. He always tells you the verse you go into. And then because he likes so much of what's going on before it, let's just start way before that. Let's pick it up way before. Because there's so much goodness. And so I see Romans 5:1. Since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Woo! Oh my gosh, we have been justified by faith. We have been right, being made right by Jesus and what he has done for us. Justified, that the charges have been dismissed, have been removed.
That's right.
On my behalf, because of Jesus paying the price, I have been justified by faith in Jesus' work. Oh God, thank you, and that is just so beautiful. Okay, let me go down to 4. So we have all of these things that have come upon us, not just tribulations, but we have all these wonderful things. Hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us, that now works his work on the inside of helping us walk into favor. Mary Forsyth was talking about that work of God through his Holy Spirit that we submit ourselves to, that when we get saved, you know, we are made right. And in fact, now positionally, we are seated with Christ in heavenly place. Poo, beautiful. Positionally, we're right there. You know what, though? There is still things in the flesh that we are working through. We are retraining our flesh. We are retraining just even the workings of our mind, even. We are even having to rewire things because of the patterns that we were walking that were not godly. That were not godly patterns, not the way he thinks. And so that we have to come into the working of God's Spirit, and that his great love towards us would love us right where we are. But as Pastor Carey says, but love us so much he won't leave us that way. Beautiful. So we have this Holy Spirit has been poured out into us, for while we were still helpless, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. I am one. I was one. I was ungodly. That now Jesus has come at the right time to help me in my helpless estate, that I could come to him and be freed from this struggle, freed from, let me go back to Mary Forsythe, freed from this place of rejection, feeling as an orphan. I don't belong. I'm worthless. He's called us into a place of him. And that place is, well, we'll go into it. For one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for a good man someone would dare even to die. But God demonstrates his own love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Wait, who is making all the actions here? I'm walking away. He's doing all the work to get me back. He is doing it. That much more than having now been justified by his death, by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him. That we were deserving of the wrath of God, the judgment of God, because we were walking away from him. We didn't care about him. We said, forget it, God. I don't want to be a part of your kingdom. I don't want you in my life. And that's what we were all. All like sheep have gone astray. All have turned their own way. But God laid on him the iniquity of us all. Much more than having been justified by his blood, we are saved from the wrath of God through him. For if while we were enemies, we were not only walking away from God, but we were against God. We were against him and his kingdom. And that while we were even yet enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son. That Jesus died on the cross for who? For the world, for everyone, that it was offered to all. And he took all sin of all time on himself on the cross to defeat it there. That's right. That when we come to him, it is already been done.
That's right.
The work has been made.
Finished.
And we come, even as Valerie said, Jesus said, it is finished. What is finished?
Yes.
Well, that work, that atonement, that making right, the work is done. But now we have to recognize where we are. Say, wait a second, that's a really good work. And we turn away from where we are, and we turn towards Christ. We turn towards him and say, I receive your work because of my sin, because of what I have done that puts you on the cross. Lord Jesus, I receive you as my Savior and as my reconciler.
Yes.
My reconciler. That we are reconciled to God through the death of his son, and we are reconciled through his life. Through his death and resurrection, we are made right. We are reconciled. We are brought into the place of favor with God. That this is what Jesus has provided for all of us, and he offers to everyone. He offers to the world.
Amen.
That this is then what we are called into. And that Jesus, as this reconciler, has reconciled us into just this beautiful place of favor with God. You're not only just accepted, which is amazing.
Yeah.
I'm accepted by God. I'm accepted, and I am celebrated by God.
Yes.
I'm accepted and favored. You have special status with God. that he favors you, that he dotes on you. And we're going to go on to, I'm going to talk about what this favor looks like. And I want to jump over really quick in John 21. John 21, this is after Jesus was resurrected. And he's meeting with the disciples. And he meets Peter, right? Peter and the disciples together. And I think this is just such a beautiful picture of Jesus' heart for reconciliation. So Peter, right? Peter was the one who said, if all will fall away, I will never. I will even die with you, right? So Peter makes that statement, and Jesus says, well, you know, before the rooster crows three times, you will have denied me three times.
Right.
Peter, I'm sure, is thinking, no, that can't be, right? Absolutely not. So this happens, correct? Remember? Jesus even said to Peter, Satan does wish and desire to sift you as wheat, and I pray that your faith will not fail. That Jesus prayed for Peter. It says here that with Peter and the disciples, Jesus begins to talk to him. He says, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Why did he ask more than these, right? Do you love me more than all these? The other disciples that are right there with them.
Yeah.
I really think that this wasn't private. I think that he was having this conversation with all of the disciples.
Yes. Yeah. Right.
Because I believe that this is the restoration of Peter's leadership.
Yes.
Because don't you think that Peter would have been, I shouldn't be the leader of this group.
Yeah.
I shouldn't step out anymore. Look what I did.
Yeah.
I'm the betrayer. Maybe Judas was certainly the betrayer, but I feel like the betrayer myself.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus knew what was going on inside of Peter.
Yeah.
And Jesus says, Simon, do you love me more than these? And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And he's not really hearing more than these. He's just hearing love you. And Jesus is saying, do you agape me? Which is interesting. Do you agape, which is the covenant love of God that he has for us, that's unconditional. He says, do you agape me? And he says, I phileo you. Which is phileo, is a brotherly, familial love. And he says to me, tend my lambs. And he points directly, this is what I'm asking you to do. I want you to keep feeding, and feeding my lambs is the youngest ones, is the littlest ones. Feed my lambs. Take care of them. And he said to him a second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Same thing. Do you agape me? Yes, you know I phileo you. He said, shepherd my sheep. Take care of my sheep. Care and tend for them. And I entrust them to you. And he says to him the third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? What was conjuring up in his mind? This is three times you're saying this to me. And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus said to him again, tend my sheep. Shepherd my sheep. Meet their needs. I am looking for you to step into this place that you had felt like you had ownership. You were the one that was in charge and leading all things. And then you fell so hard. But I'm restoring you now to that place that I want you to stand in, Peter.
Amen.
And then he goes on to say, truly, truly, I say to you, when you were younger, you used to gird yourself and walk wherever you wish. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will gird you and bring you where you do not wish to go. Now, and John interprets this, what Jesus says, and he says, now he said this, signifying what kind of death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, follow me. Peter, keep on coming on. Keep on coming. Keep on coming. I don't strip away what I've called you to walk into. In fact, I bid you keep coming.
Yes.
You stepped out of the boat. You keep stepping out.
Amen. It's good.
You keep coming.
Yeah.
Jesus is stirring him up and restoring his identity even as leader of the church right here. I think it's a beautiful picture. Jesus did all of this on the cross for us, but then comes back and then he leads Peter into a better understanding of his own identity, breaking off the shame, right? That's what I see here. He's breaking off the shame. You have a place of favor, Peter. Come on, let's keep walking. Come on, come follow me, let's go. I love this. This is what Jesus did with Peter, and this is what I believe he calls us to walk in that same place. Come on, I know you've fallen down. I know things have happened, but come on, let's go. Let's get up and follow. Jesus has more for you to walk in. He has not dismissed you. The gifts and callings are without repentance. Whew. I love Jesus' restoration of Peter here. And what do we see happen, right? On the day of Pentecost. Now, certainly we're saying, well, yeah, he was filled with the Holy Spirit. Yeah, that's good. Who else stood up?
Yeah.
It was Peter.
Peter
stands up in his identity and pours out by the Spirit. Lord, you have put me in this place, and I'm standing back up into it. Because you restored me to that place. What a beautiful picture the Lord gives to us. And that we have, even as Jesus was an instrument of reconciliation, obviously so many different ways in Peter's life, but restoring even his identity and his calling, that he calls us the same to walk in this calling. I just want to mention, you know, that just even as Peter, we are such, you know, we are objects of God's divine favor. And he loves us so very much. And then because of all of this great love and what he does in us, you know, it cannot help but pour out. And I've said that, but we are objects of divine favor and truly conduits of divine favor. So I think you're catching me, right? But Lord, this is what I'm asking. This is what I'm charging myself and all of us. Lord, let us see ourselves in the way that you see us. First and foremost, in our own identity, how you created us to be, how I'm supposed to live, how I engage with the Father, that I need that identity as a son. I'm a son that whom you celebrate. But then even as an identity of being your hands and feet, being your mouth, being your eyes and ears, that you have called me to be this in these days, and that you have called me even as a minister of reconciliation. So let's go to this passage in 2 Corinthians 5:14. Woo! And 2 Corinthians 5 is an incredible chapter. I mean, and so I'm doing the same thing. I'm looking way before and wow. 2 Corinthians 5, and we'll just settle on starting at 14. For the love of Christ controls us. Having concluded this, that one died for all, therefore... Who died? All. So who is all? All is all. It's a Greek word. It's panta, and it means all. Okay? It's all. It's all people of all time, forever. That's who died. Where? In Christ. We all died in Christ, and we had to in order to be saved by his work. And we are potentially all saved, but only those who grab hold, only those who turn, receive that gift that has been freely given.
That's right.
But it has been applied to all.
Yes.
The work is applied to everyone, salvation. Salvation has been completed. For the love of Christ controls us, having concluded that one died for all, therefore all died, and he died for all, so that they who might no longer live for themselves. There's the key, right? There's the key. Those who no longer live for themselves, that I'm not walking my own way, I'm not doing my own plans, that I live my own life and I have nothing to do with God, but that those who might no longer live to themselves, but for him who died and rose on their behalf. Yeah. Therefore, from now on, we recognize no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, we saw him on the earth, we saw what he was doing, we recognized what he did, yet now no longer we don't even think of him in that way.
That's right.
We think of the greater reality of who he is right now in the heavenlies.
Yes.
And so he says, Paul is saying, now the way that we recognize Christ, so as he is, so also are we in this world. Valerie just mentioned that this morning, that now we recognize everyone in that way. We now recognize everyone, not just in the flesh, not by just what we see in this earthly tent. Because we know, you know, we are looking at a whole room full of immortals.
Yeah.
You know, we make movies about immortals and talk about all these, you know, heroes and things like, guess who's truly immortal? All of these people right here. And I'm not saying we're all saved. You know, whether you're saved or you're not saved, you are immortal.
Right.
You will be in glory, or you will be in torment.
Yes.
For all eternity.
Yeah.
It's true.
And Paul is trying to get us to correct, remember that.
Yes.
C.S. Lewis has such incredible writings, and I love this. I'd like to do the whole section here, but I can't. He says, there are no ordinary people. You have never talked to a mere mortal. Nations, cultures, arts, civilization, these are all mortal. What is he saying? They all pass away. All of these things that we see that fill our attentions and all these things, they will pass away. These things are mortal, and their life is to ours as the life of a gnat. In the grand scheme of eternity. But it is immortals with whom we joke with, we work with, we marry, or we snub, or we exploit. Immortal horrors or everlasting splendors? Wow. Sobering picture, I think, of what Paul is talking about here, that we don't meet mere mortals. We meet people that are destined for eternity.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's it.
And that should sober us so much so that we want to be a part of God's work in reconciling them to himself.
Amen.
Yeah.
True. It's true.
That I'm not trying to be nosy, but I really want to know your eternal destiny.
Yes.
Of the people that walk around me. I want to know.
Yeah.
I need to know.
Yes.
So that either I'm okay with where you're going, or I'm going to help you try and get to be with the Lord.
Amen.
Try to be restored to his favor. We recognize no one according to the flesh. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, and these are three realities that I wanted to jump into. Three realities of who we are. As objects of favor and as instruments of favor. So, first off, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. Creature. Creation or creature. Pick one. Okay. He is a new creation. So he's talking about, let's not recognize people according to the flesh. And then he goes right into, you are a new creation. And you need to recognize it. You need to recognize it for yourself, and you need to recognize it for others.
That's it.
That those who come to Christ, they are new creations in Christ. And that he is still working his work to bring about the glory that he wants completely revealed in their life. Whew, and I want to be a partner with that, Jesus. I want to be a partner with it in myself. I'm going to allow your spirit to work in me and to move me into these places that you have intended for me to walk in glory. And I want to be a partner with you in doing that with someone else. I want to help. I want to be a part of that. Therefore, old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. Oh, so beautiful. My old running away from God, pushing away from Him, you know, making my own decisions and saying and not that we don't make decisions. He allows us by His Spirit to make right, godly decisions. And He's given us a mind that we do these things, but we make it in Him. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. That this is where we walk. We walk with Him. And that way, that I'm no longer walking by myself, I'm walking with Him. That old things have passed away. That those old pathways that I used to go down, I don't go down those anymore. I go with Him and I go on His pathways. But the first thing is, as new creations in Christ Jesus, you are dressed in God's favor. He dresses us in God's favor. Let me give you some verses on this. And these are incredible realities in Christ. And I love Psalm 149, and it's verse 4. He says, "For the Lord takes pleasure." This is favor. He takes pleasure acceptably, favorably, sets His affection upon. This is that word. The word is ratsa. And He takes pleasure in His people. He adorns. The word is to dress beautifully. He adorns or beautifies the afflicted. He adorns the afflicted and depressed with salvation. You know what the Hebrew word for salvation is there? And it just hit me again. I was like, oh, that's so good, Lord. He dresses and He beautifies me with Yeshua. I'm done. Boom. Mic drop. Okay. Let's go. Let's go home now. Let's go eat some chili. He dresses us in Yeshua because He loves us so much. Because He wants us to be dressed in glory. That's why He dresses us in Jesus. Because He knows who He created us to be. He created us to look like Jesus. And so then He dresses us in Jesus. Oh, He's so beautiful and consistent in all of His ways. So He dresses us. He adorns us. The word is like a king being adorned in glory in all of His kingship and His kingly robes. Oh my gosh. He dresses us this way. He dresses us in Himself. And what happens then in verse 5 after this is so great. So after you realize who you've been dressed in, it says, let the saints exult. The word is alaz, and it means jump for joy on their beds. Jump for joy and glory come up because they're in glory, right? It says, the saints exult in glory. I'm jumping in my glory suit of Jesus. Right? Oh, my God. It's no wonder. It's no wonder they're jumping for joy. Yeah. I was just dressed like Jesus. Oh, my. Oh, my. Oh, the name above every name, Yeshua. Yeshua means salvation. It means deliverance. It means salvation. It means healing. It means wholeness. It means love, joy, it's all of these things. So we're dressed in these things. Psalm 103, verse 2. You know, bless the Lord, don't forget any of His benefits, who forgives all of your iniquities, heals all of your diseases, right? Who redeems your life from the pit. He pulls you out of the pit, out of the place that you were. And He what? He crowns you. He crowns you with what? He crowns you with loving kindness or loving devotion. The word is chesed. It's chesed, actually. And chesed means the covenant, loyal, unfailing love of God. That's what He crowns you with. He crowns you with His love. He puts it on your head. This is yours. Right? He crowns you with His loving kindness and puts on compassion, and it really means just inner deep love. The word is womb, racham, and it just means this depth of tender love that he has for you. This covenant love and tender love that he's crowned you with this. That you have this. You own it now by right because he has given it to you. And he satisfies you, fills you. Wow, you've already overwhelmed me. Yeah. But now he fills you, and it's not, fills you with good things. And it's such a, it just doesn't describe what it really means in the Hebrew. That he dresses you, or he fills you with the finest of things. He fills you with finery. I can't even think of another great word, but it's sometimes translated ornaments. Now, ornaments kind of seem silly, maybe just on a tree. Not that trees are, I mean, ornaments are silly, but yes. Ornaments, beautiful things, right? He fills you with just beautiful things, and I see just the working of God's Holy Spirit to fill me with greater and greater things. Of who I am, who I am in him, that he has given me these nuggets of gold to hold on the innermost being, that he satisfies me in this. And that, and then it's Zephaniah 3:17. So he dresses us in all of this favor, right? So I see favor. When I see that kind of love, when I see favor, I see love. I see ongoing love. I see a special place in his heart. This is what he is all talking about right here. So we are dressed in favor, and then Zephaniah 3:17. The Lord your God is among you, and he is mighty to save, and he will rejoice over you with gladness. The word is also delight. He will take delight in you with gladness. Gladness is exceeding joy with great pleasure, and he will quiet you in his love, and he will rejoice over you. Gil, which means to spin around, he will rejoice over, wait, who? He will rejoice over you with singing. Oh, my. So he's dressed us all this way, and then he's dancing around, and woo, you know, he's jumping around me. Does that look like favor to you? Looks like incredible favor to me. That there is this love that God is pouring out. And he's so abundant that it pours out of him over us. And it comes out in singing and spinning around and walking around. It says in Psalm 32:7. Let's keep on going with this. 32:7, you are my hiding place, Jesus said. You protect me from trouble. You surround me with songs of deliverance. We sang about them this morning, about the songs of deliverance, that he surrounds us with songs of deliverance. So the word surround, sabab, it means to encircle, to walk around. It means to encompass. Also, but this word is also used in Jericho, or when Joshua was going around Jericho, they were sababbing. Sorry. The word sabab, they were marching around the city, right? So we have another picture here of our God marching around us, singing songs of deliverance, singing songs of our freedom. You're going to be freed from that place, and you will walk hand in hand with me. That God created Adam and Eve to walk with them in the garden, to have relationship with them. That God is restoring relationship, that he is reconciling us to himself, that he has surrounded us with his love, that we are blessed in him. And then I have to give you this one too, Psalm 5:12. It says, he surrounds us. You bless the righteous person. We know we're righteous in Christ. He blesses the righteous person. And you surround him with favor as a shield.
Yes. I love that one.
So he's surrounding us. He's dressing us in his love, in all of his goodnesses. He is surrounding us with songs of deliverance, you know, songs of freedom. He's surrounding us with unfailing loving kindness that would never stop. He surrounds us with favor as a shield. And so we have this picture. We are adorned and crowned and surrounded by God's favor. Is that settled?
Yes.
You guys have it?
Yeah.
So that's how we walk.
Yeah.
We walk in that place.
Yeah.
Unless we choose to step out of favor. And yet you still have his favor. We don't really step out of it. Because we're still sons and daughters. But we can choose not to acknowledge it or walk into it, walk with him in these things. But he still loves you. And he still is singing over you. And that he cares for you. And that when I look at this, I think of this clip. And it is an old movie. And I really want, I want to play it. And well, I'm not even going to get close to where I'm needing to go.
Next week.
Next week. Have any of y'all seen The Fiddler on the Roof? The movie The Fiddler on the Roof. Wow, I'm so happy. That really makes me happy. I was thinking, oh no. I'm so glad you've seen it. If you haven't, you need to see it. It's a beautiful story. And it's about a Jewish family in Russia, in kind of pre-revolutionary, just about revolutionary Russia. And it's a Jewish family, husband and wife, with five daughters. And three of the daughters, they are matchmaking, or they're trying to figure out who they are going to marry. And so there's a whole lot about this. Remember, matchmaker, matchmaker, make me a match, you know, all of that. There's just great songs in that. It's such a great movie. But there is this beautiful picture, and it's called, and it's the Sabbath prayer. And it just overwhelms me every time I see it. But it really is a place that I believe is like a place of favor.
Yes.
A place of favor that is being just extended. That we mom and dad just knew that we needed God in all things, and we want his favor all over our children. And it's just such a great picture. And so I don't know if you guys are ready for me, but I'd like to play that clip right now. If we could. Yeah, thank you.
Protect and defend you. May he always shield you from shame.
May you come to be in Israel a shining name. May you be like Ruth and like Esther. May you be deserving of praise.
Strengthen them, O Lord, and keep them from the stranger's ways.
May God bless you and grant you long life.
May the Lord fulfill our Sabbath prayer. May God make you good mothers and wives.
May he send you husbands who will care for you. May the Lord protect and defend.
May the Lord protect and defend.
I like that clip. But I hope you catch that in your mind's eye. And this is where the position that I think that we are as sons and daughters of God to do. Certainly now, if you have a family, that you do that in your family. But you do this in the lives of those that you influence.
That's right. Yes.
It's such a beautiful picture of let the grace and the favor of God pour forth out over those around me. I encourage you. I'm so thankful for this house.
Yes.
For Trinity Fellowship. And Pastor Kerry has wonderful giftings and callings of God. You know, one of the things that I so appreciate about Pastor Kerry is that, and he'll even say, you know, I'm not a great singer, but don't you love that the pastor of this house will sing over us?
Yeah.
That's what I see when I see this.
Yes.
I see Pastor Kerry singing over us. It just doesn't mean, you know, the songs of deliverance just doesn't mean you're talking about deliverance. Songs that bring freedom to you.
Yes.
Songs that bring life. The truths of God made manifest to you. I am so blessed just to be a part of a house that allows the moving of God's Spirit in these ways.
Yes.
So I encourage you, I encourage myself. The Lord was convicting me. You know, my kids, when they were wee little in my arms, guess what I did? I would sing over my kids. I used to sing. Wow, I can't even do it. It's choking me up. I used to sing Jesus Loves Me.
Yes.
I would say, Jesus loves you, this I know. For the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves you. Yes, Jesus loves you. Yes, Jesus loves you. The Bible tells me so. And I was thinking about that.
Yeah.
And the Lord said, why'd you stop?
Yeah.
Man, Jesus, you just keep undoing me all day today. They need it.
Yeah.
The world needs it.
Yeah, it's true.
I'm going to finish. I'm done. Because I'm going to ask Miss Leah to come up.
Yeah.
So I've been praying, and probably most of you have been praying over Ukraine.
Yeah.
And the millions of people.
Yeah.
That have left the country and or leaving.
Yeah.
And I've been praying over them.
Yeah.
Praying a lot of different things.
Yeah.
But as I've been praying, I keep coming back to, Lord, let them encounter you.
Yes.
Let them encounter you. Let them meet you, Jesus.
Yes.
And as the Lord was talking to me about the singing over my kids,
yes.
He was saying, I sing over my kids. I'm singing over those kids. I'm singing over these Ukrainians. I'm singing over them. And I want you to join me singing over them. That's why I was in my spirit, I was like, yes, Jesus loves you. Yes, Jesus loves you. Jesus said, come to me, all who are weary, and I will give you rest. I will surround you. I will surround you with songs of deliverance. I will surround you with my loving kindness and my eyes towards you for your good. And Jesus is like, yeah, come on, partner with me. Let's sing over them. Let's see them restored. What the enemy means for evil, I mean for good. I will work everything to good. Everything. All things. Not some things. All things. He works together for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. That he brings about his good in this place. Even in that place. And then I see a picture of Jesus with arms wide open. Oh, Jesus, thank you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Leah has written this just gorgeous song. And it really is how God dresses us. He dresses us in identity and who we are and sings over us. And it's just a beautiful, beautiful song. And it says, Redeemed. It's called Redeemed. And I love it. It's how God calls us redeemed, calls us beloved. And such a great song, and I kept hearing it, and I was hearing it for myself, and then I just began singing it, and I was hearing me saying, He calls you redeemed, like I was singing it over someone else. Standing in a place of reconciling. He calls you his own. He calls you child adored.
Yes.
I want to be part of that work, Jesus. Because I've been undone by how you've done it to me. I want to be a part of it as you do it with others. So I want Miss Leah to sing this. She's like, oh, thanks a lot. Hey, I can't be the only one crying up here.
I am accepted by a holy God.
Let it wash over you. You can stand, you can sit, you can lie, you can kneel, whatever you want.
Then made me his own. Took this broken life, put it back.
Yes.
I am no longer ashamed, 'cause you have given me a brand new.
Jesus.
yes, he has. Puts it on.
He calls you in. He calls you beautiful. He calls you pure and clean. He calls.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Ooh. Thank you for choosing us before the foundation of the world even. Lord, you chose us. You love us. Lord Jesus, your love knows no bounds. It just keeps going forth. And Lord, today, even as we sing this song together in this place, give us a picture of specific people. I am asking right now, you put their faces in our mind's eye right now in this place. Lord, and let us begin to sing. Let us begin to sing over them. Sing over them to see them restored into God's favor, into God's love and His goodness. Lord, that they truly would be yours. They would be rightly restored. They would be reconciled. Jesus, that's our heart today in this place. Lord, let us sing over our families these beautiful words. Let's sing over the ones around us and that we affect daily. Lord, let us